This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980. We're also now live on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, as well as the Odyssey app. And we do stream live all 3 hours on YouTube at the Team 980. It's our pleasure to kick off the final hour of the show with ESPN's Caitlin Kaler, investigative reporter extraordinaire who has had a very busy day. Breaking news such as the headline, ex-NFLPA boss Howell's strip club expenses sent to investigator. You think that was what you were going to wind up writing when this whole story kicked off and we talked about it 2 weeks ago or a week ago, Caitlin?
No, it wasn't. And things just, you know, as we kept reporting, I think we did four total stories. I'm trying to remember now. There were two last week and two this week. Yeah, I think we did four. As we kept reporting, different things about what was going on at the union and Lloyd with the collusion grievance and the silence around the collusion grievance, the confidentiality agreement between the PA and the NFL. And then we reported that Lloyd is working as a part-time consultant for a private equity firm. And then we reported yesterday that there was a dispute between NFLPA executive members and player representatives over whether they were informed about a 2011 sexual discrimination and retaliation lawsuit that Lloyd was sued for when he was an executive at Booz Allen in 2011. We reported those details yesterday. And, it just was like little by little, we just getting more and more as we continued to report on this. So, no, I did not anticipate that it was going to go in this direction of, using union company money to pay for visits to strip clubs.
Fair enough. I didn't expect, I expected a lot of turns in this to be not savory, but that, right. That's certainly one that's not expected. Although, apparently, this is something that he also apparently got in trouble for at Booz Allen. So, I guess if you know that piece of information, it becomes less surprising. We can get into that. Like, that is salacious, and, like, it's obviously bad, and it's serious. I loved the quote that you have from a former union general counsel in the story where it's like, I just can't imagine someone possibly being that stupid in terms of the optics of this, nevertheless using the funds. But to me, Caitlin, the most important thing that you and our friend, your colleague, Don Van Natta, have reported over the last couple days here is that discrepancy between the executive committee and player reps about how much they knew about Howell as they were electing him as president. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about that process? And you've reported and kind of who you're believing and how you can possibly square the two accounts of the same groups or people who were allegedly in the same room saying, we knew about this and other people that say we didn't know.
Yeah, so it's really complicated because the process that the union used to select Lloyd Howell or to even select him as a finalist was different than what they had done in the past. In the past, they had a more, it's been described to me as a little bit more of a chaotic, where they did not use an outside search firm in the way that they did this time around. And the player representatives, 32 player representatives who vote for the union director, they previously, before this time, the last time they elected D, they got 2 weeks to be able to research the candidates. They learned who the finalists were with 2 weeks before the vote. But at some point before this last election, the player representatives voted to change the constitution to say that this time around, they would not get 2 weeks notice. They would just find out who the candidates were on the day of the vote or the day of the meeting for the vote. So that changed a lot of things. And what happened is these player representatives showed up in, it was a 16 month long process. The NFLPA hired Russell Reynolds Associates to be the executive search firm to basically recruit and find the candidates for this job. And they did a lot of recruiting for people who may not necessarily have applied to it, but would be good candidates for it. And so that was a 16-month long process. And at the end of that process, the player representatives all gathered in Virginia at a hotel for 2 days. And when they walked into the meeting room on the first day, that is when they found out who the two finalists were. It was Lloyd Howell, and it was David White, who was the executive director of the Screen Actors Guild Union, obviously a huge, huge union in Hollywood. And those were the two finalists. The two finalists didn't know about each other. They didn't see each other that weekend. They both got a chance to present to the players. And I think where the discrepancy comes in here is we talked to two player representatives who do not remember being told in that meeting about the 2011 sexual retaliation lawsuit, Lloyd Howell's background. That lawsuit settled for an undisclosed sum. So we don't know how much that lawsuit settled for. But the player representatives we talked to don't remember being told about it or hearing about it. The first they heard about it was when we told them as reporters. They didn't remember it at all. But then we talked to two members of the executive committee who said, no, in fact, it had come up in their vetting process. Now, the vetting process only involved the search committee, which is the executive committee and then a few of the longest tenured player representatives. So it's a smaller group. It's not all the player representatives on the search committee. So there was a smaller group, the executive committee members told us, who were aware of this, and they did talk to the Booz Allen general counsel, and they did talk to the NFLPA's own general counsel, and they told us they were given the green light to move ahead. So they also said it came up in the election where the player representatives were in the room. But that's where they differ, because the executive committee members remember someone asking a question about this at the election meeting, at the meeting before they elected, before they voted. But the player representatives we talked to don't remember that. So I think you know, where they meet in the middle is probably this reality where the regular player representatives who were not on the board, who were not on the executive committee or the search committee, they definitely knew less about the candidates than the vetting search committee did. And I think that was the purpose in the process, is the search committee wanted to be the ones to filter down the candidates and only present the players with two finalists. And in that vetting process, there was some important information that got blurred a little bit.
Which is a totally reasonable thing, right? To say, like, yeah, all right, we're going to have this committee do this, as opposed to having 32 voices trying to find the candidates and ask questions. But like, you have to do a good job. It's not actually that that's a bad plan, but like, clearly the execution was severely lacking, and now they need another executive director. So yes. Kaylin Kaler, national NFL reporter for ESPN, investigative ace, working with Don Van Natta on these stories. What kind of changes do you think happen as the union has no executive director and tons of egg on its face?
Yeah, it's interesting, because the players I've talked to, they really view the election of Lloyd as like a shift in the way that they think about their union. And it's, I don't know if it's a good shift or a bad shift, but I'll just explain to you, you know, how they view it. So under Dee Smith, the previous union director, Dee was very litigious. Dee liked to file grievances and really be a thorn in the side of the owners. He was just more of an agitator type of union director, which is probably the majority of union directors, honestly, if you look across labor unions, major labor unions in this country.
Right.
Now, Lloyd Howell, when they elected Lloyd, the big thing that they liked about Lloyd was that he understood money. He understood how to make the players more money. That was his pitch to them. And part of his pitch, as one player representative told us, is that he had been the guy working for Booz Allen, which holds a ton of defense contracts with the government. And they just a huge firm with like thousands and thousands of employees. They liked the fact that he came from that world. And he told them in his pitch that he was going to be a good union director because he'd been spending his career fighting against unions. So he came from the world where the owners came from. That was his sell to the players. And he was able to really win over the players with this idea that he was going to make their union more of a business and more of a money-making venture for them than it had been. And today's player, and I know this directly from speaking to players over the last week or so about this, you know, the one thing that they keep repeating is that they think, you know, today's player, these guys are interested in investing their money. They're interested in doing something other than football while they're football players. That is very important to them. So that attracted them to Lloyd. And so now with Lloyd resigning, they're sort of at a turning point or an important point where they need to decide, do they want to go back to the traditional agitator type of leader, more of your person who has experience running a labor union? Or do they want to continue in the mold of Lloyd Howell and look for someone else with a finance business background and not the union background? So I think that's sort of the decision in front of them right now, is like, what is going to be the ethos and identity of the union after this shakeup?
Kaylin Kaler with us. And Kaylin, I appreciate your time. I know you're busy and you've got making a million calls and there's a ton of reporting to do here. So I'll just ask you one more and I'll leave this as open-ended as possible because I know this is a tough question because you were still reporting. You are playing along with Don in some kind of wacky competition with Pablo across the way as they're also reporting on this. You guys are playing this bizarre game of whack-a-mole here where there are so many stories within this story. So like to you, what's like the one biggest unanswered actually I don't want to ask it that way in terms of biggest unanswered question, like what's the biggest existential threat here, whether it's to the league with some of the collusion stuff, to the union with Howell's conduct, like what to you amongst all of these stories is actually like the most substantively important story or thread on this story that you feel like you guys are working on?
I think it's probably going to relate to how he was elected and looking more into their process, because as I mentioned at the top of the call, like it was a different process than they had used before in selecting an executive director. And clearly we see now from the result of him resigning last night, that process failed them. It was not a successful process that you chose a union director who only lasted for 2 years. When you look back over the course of the union's executive director history, these are long tenured positions. I don't know off the top of my head how many years D. Smith was in the job, but it was multiple terms. He served multiple terms. And Gene Upshaw was in it for much longer than that before him. There's only been, I believe, 4 executive directors in the entire history of the Players Union. So I think it's a really surprising result that Lloyd Howell only lasted 2 years in the job. And I think what I have more questions on is like, how that process went down, if it was in fact a fair and conducted in the right way hiring process and selection process. And then, you know, moving forward, JC Treader, who is I think his role is chief strategy officer, if I'm going to get that right. I don't have it in front of me, but it's something to do with strategy. You know, he is still in a leadership position right now at the union. And I think he's probably someone they're considering if he could be an interim. He's probably in the list of names that the player representatives will be considering as an interim executive director here. And I think, you know, what Pablo reported yesterday with JC's involvement in the grievance involving running backs faking injuries that the union lost, that the NFL was able to file because of something JC Treader said on a podcast. I don't know. I just think looking more of J.C. Treader's role in this union is also something I'm interested in, too.
Yeah, for sure. I know Pablo's done a lot of reporting on Treader's part of it. It is, it's not very flattering for Treader. And again, none of this really is for anybody involved in the union. Kaylin Kaler doing an amazing job. Again, her, Don Van Natta's reporting is must read right now on ESPN.com. Kaylin, thanks for a little bit of time on a very busy day. Really appreciate it. And I hope that, all these silly geese will let you have at least some semblance of a weekend.
I have to go to a wedding tomorrow, so I will be off the grid at night.
Don, you're on. Kaylin, thank you.
Thanks so much.
Kaylin Kaler with us here on the Hoffman Show. And just by the way, to wrap up her point of how incredibly zany this is with Howell, Ed Garvey was the first like executive director in the modern era of the NFL, like post-merger, and the first to kind of hold the job for a long time. So there were two guys before him that were more temporary. But Ed Garvey was the executive director of the PA from 1971 to 1983. He gave way to Gene Upshaw, who held it from 83 to 2008. And then after an interim stint by Rachel Berthelstein, which was purely interim while they elected the next director, D. Smith had it from 2009 to 2023. Howell from 23 to July 17th, a.k.a. last night of this year. So very, very, very long stints for the three main guys, Garvey, Upshaw, and Smith, and now Howell as the fourth guy, just a two-year stint embroiled in tons of controversy and tons of bad behavior, much of which we don't even know yet because there's investigations ongoing. When we get back to the players themselves, specifically Terry McLaurin, why is this contract situation so sticky? And how did our opinions change after hearing Terry speak on Tuesday? You'll hear from me and Logan Paulson on that next. But first, the latest from the world of women's sports, presented to you by Wawa. Chicken how you want it at Wawa with customizable roasted and crispy chicken sandwiches.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Hoffman's show. We're on the Team 980. Anthony, I got to say, every time, this beat is so loud. We got to adjust the file.
I got to remember that. That's on me.
Yeah, like, remember. Honestly, just, like, write down a – set a reminder for yourself in 45 seconds. Like, go in the file, just bring it down,
yeah.
Save. That's what we got to do.
Quick edit. You're right.
Yeah, because that one's – sorry to everybody's ears. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are live on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and the Odyssey app. And it is time for Take Command on a Friday. A little more perspective on the Terry McLaurin signing that hasn't happened yet. The Terry McLaurin negotiations from me and Logan Paulson. It's how we started the latest edition of Take Command.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Take Command podcast. Logan Paulson there. Craig Hoffman here. Here, a hotel room somewhere in Los Angeles, an unidentified hotel room in Los Angeles, California, Logan.
Yeah, I mean, you're on vacation, living your best life, but you're still grinding it out, and I appreciate that about you. Just always putting the work in.
I'm just trying to honor like a Logan Paulson-esque work ethic. You know, you guys just know him for getting after it, no days off. So I'm leaning in. Like, this show is me and you, buddy, and you know, I got to lean into that. So that's what we're doing out here in California. We're talking about the Commanders. So that does mean that we're going to have to talk about this Terry McLaurin situation. The other thing we're going to do on the show today, after we talk about Terry here off the top, is we're going to do something I did on the radio last year, Logan, which was I ranked the top 10 most important Commanders. We did it over the course of like 10 days. You and I were going to do an express version. We're going to do it in 30 minutes. So we have made our list. We will go from – we decided we're a top-down podcast, so we will start at one. You'll never guess who that is, and then go on down. So with that said, though, I was sitting at this very desk, Logan, yesterday with not a lot to do early in the morning, West Coast time, and on my phone, the free – Odyssey app, bosses would be happy on that one. I got a little note. It was like Terry McLaurin talking to the media, and I was like, oh, I got nothing for a little bit. Let me listen on in. And what I heard was a guy who sounded pretty upset and pretty hurt. The things he was saying was not surprising. It's consistent with, I think, a lot of the reporting that's been out there. There's a clear disconnect. I think the part where he was most passionate was when he was talking about his age and making the case of why he believes he's worth what he thinks he's worth. And obviously there's a disconnect there with what the Commanders think, because otherwise there would be a deal. The other thing I thought was interesting is there haven't been talks in a while, including it didn't seem like there was a real effort to get anything done by the time minicamp rolled through. That seems a little weird to me, but also if you're like, no, I've heard of that before, I'm very easily convinced to back off of that. But I thought it was definitely interesting. I think Terry was very authentic. I think if I was Adam Peters walking around my office, I'd be like, damn it, just from like a public perception standpoint. But ultimately, like, it does come down to like, what is Terry asking for? What is his agency asking for? What is the team? And like, we still don't know those numbers per year. Ian Rappaport has said it's something in excess of 30 million, but like, is that 30.5 million or 34 million? Like, that matters. And then I think the big one, based off Terry's comments with his age and also thinking about what really matters to the Commanders 3 years from now, clean books to get the biggest deal in NFL history done with Jaden Daniels, hopefully, because that means he's continued to be awesome. I do feel like the length of the deal has to be a big factor here. So that's kind of where I'm at after listening to it yesterday. I have some questions I want to run by you in a second, but what were your kind of general thoughts after listening to Terry talk?
Yeah, man, I think it's always these negotiations are always tough, man, because again, it is, and Terry said it a bunch in the interview, it's all, you know, it's a business. And I think everyone, you always try as a player to push past that business element. You kind of say, I'm part of a team, and the team is always in opposition to business, right? Business is about maximizing the company, maximizing the revenue, maximizing opportunities for other players down the road, all those different things. And so in negotiations, like, things are said that aren't always pleasant to hear, you know, and I think that's tough. Like, I didn't have any like huge money deals, but I did a lot of 1 year deals, did 1 3-year deal, and stuff comes up and you're like, man, like, that's probably true, but I don't want to hear that, you know, about myself as a player, right? I don't want to hear.
Well, and also, right, you have an athlete's mentality of like, okay, yeah, even if that is true, like, I'll improve that. Like, yeah, pay me for what I'm going to be, because I know I can get better at that.
I can get better. And it's interesting, you know, like, I had a brief conversation with a coach about this once, and it's like, it's hard because like, you love the player, you're part of the team too, and you want the deal to get done, but also you have to kind of play the analytics game. And I only bring this up is because Terry brought up his age a bunch, but like, that's a huge factor in how teams work contracts and work contract language and years and total guarantee money, all that kind of stuff. So like, ultimately, like, I come down on this like with a lot of empathy for Terry, because it's hard. And not only have I gone through it, but I've seen friends go through it, teammates go through it. And ultimately, this is your livelihood. And I want you to get, as a player, like, what you feel you deserve. However, oftentimes that's at odds with the team, and the team is, it can feel very harsh, but again, they're just trying to be practical. So like, as much as it's hurtful, just try to remove all emotion from it and just kind of say like, this is business. Like, I've handled myself to the best. Like, I remember when I was in Atlanta, just to kind of as an anecdotal point, is that the negotiation was not going great. It wasn't like a lot of money. It was like, you know, vet men kind of, here's some bonuses. I got $100,000 bonus the year before, and I was looking for something similar, and they were kind of like, absolutely not. And they said some things in that I didn't think were very nice, because I played the last half of the year on a pretty significant injury. They were like, your film wasn't good, you're getting old, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I played because you asked me to. Like, I could have just sat out the rest of the year. And so I called Dan, and Dan was like, thanks for calling me. Like, I appreciate you calling me. And like, I understand what you did, and we appreciate it. And like, just know we value you, and we value what you did. And this is part of the process, right? They're going to try and save as much money as possible. They got to extend Hooper. They got to extend all these people. And so it's not personal. And so I think just trying to remind yourself of that as often and as frequently as possible is a huge element of this. And again, empathy for Terry. I understand how hard it is, and I want him to get everything he wants out of this. But just know the team, sometimes the team's goals are in slight opposition, and that can be difficult.
Right. And I have empathy for Adam too. And I can talk more about that in a second, but you know, I do think that it's very easy for fans to be like, especially they want to be mean towards you. I'm going to take the tact of being a fan that's being mean towards you, Logan. Well, Logan, you were the third tight end. Like, he's Terry McLaurin. He should get whatever he wants. And like, I will say, there's a part of me that agrees with that. Like, Terry has been the heart and soul of this team. He was a beacon of light during dark times for this franchise. And while that stuff happened before Adam was here and this front office and this coaching staff were here, and much of it before ownership was here, obviously the first year for Josh, when Ron's final year wasn't exactly fun for anyone, but like, the dark times were before Harris got here. Like, that doesn't matter, my guess, too much to them, but like, it does matter to Terry, and it does matter to fans, and like, that is hard. And so this is actually, in a weird way, like, where I kind of have some empathy for Adam, is that if you ask this question, right, this hypothetical question or rhetorical question, if Terry is still amazing at football, as he said, he's still a 4-3 guy. He's the guy that caught the NFC championship game slant and took it to the house, the screen and took it to the house against Detroit. He said he's still 4-3 fast, and he said it with the confidence that there was a man that has been on a stopwatch recently. he hasn't missed a game in 5 years. If he's the heart and soul of the team, if he's done everything you asked, why wouldn't they just pay him? Well, do we think Adam Peters is smart? Do we think Adam Peters doesn't know these things? So like, where's the disconnect? And that's where I have the empathy for Adam, and where I still will go back to, as much as like, I agree with all of the stuff that Terry says, and the thing that every fan's like, if I'm being honest, Logan, like, it should Terry probably, based off the pure market value of him as a football player, make $32 million a year? No. Would I, Craig Hoffman, general manager, pay him $32 million the next 2 years before I have to worry about that Jaden extension as a thank you for being Terry freaking McLaurin? Like, honestly, considering their cap situation, if I don't feel like I need that $2 million, which they definitely don't this year, I'd have to take a closer look at next year, but there are no major extensions coming up, I probably would do that. But then if that's all the case, and we also all agree in this Commanders universe that Adam Peters is really freaking smart, he's very good at his job, then what is being asked? Like, what right. is the disconnect? And that's what we don't know. And that is where, like, how your agent translates information to a player can affect how hurt they are, where, you know, what the conversations are. And, like, that DK Metcalf deal, like, if I'm Terry, I want more than that. But, like, that deal was a joke in many ways. Like, what the player understands about salary structures and cap structures, like, this is where it gets really hairy and the details matter. And where on some level, I think both sides can be right, even if they seem diametrically opposed.
Yeah, and this was interesting. We did a segment about this like weeks ago, like the highest player, highest receiver salaries based on whatever, annual value, yeah. whatever it was. And it was, and we went through it at the time. And I remember thinking like, this DK Metcalf deal is going to be a problem because like it is such an outlier. Because again, like you go through the list, it's like the guys you would expect to be the top eight highest paid receivers, it's almost that in order, if I remember correctly. It's very, very close.
Which do you want? I pulled it up. Do you want total value or average annual salary?
I think it's average annual. I don't remember. It was one of the ones. It was like a list where you're like, oh my gosh, like these guys all yeah. kind of make sense.
Well, actually, I think it was total value because here's your – it's like a game of which one of these doesn't belong here. Jamar right. Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, DK Metcalf is four. Yeah. Garrett Wilson, recently paid by the Jets this right. week, is five. St. Brown, Ayuk, Higgins are the top eight.
Right, and Higgins just got redone, right? So, like, it was – I remember yeah. thinking, like, those four dudes and then DK Metcalf to me is kind of in the wrong zip code at that point. And I like DK Metcalf as a player, but yeah. I don't think he's in that same yeah. pantheon.
AAV is bad too, actually, because yeah. DK's technically got 33 AAV, which is very high. But it's like the structure of his contract, for folks that didn't hear that episode, like that's not how the salary cap is actually going to work. And there is a chance that this turns into a two-year $60 million contract, even though on paper it is five for 135.
Yeah, so the reason I bring this up is because like the best receivers in football are the four guys at the top of that list, probably AJ Brown. Yep. I would put Amon-Ra probably in there too in some capacity, and then you could kind of argue who the next, I'm probably forgetting somebody, but who the next guy is, right?
Right.
And so the reason I bring this up is because, you know, Terry, if I'm Terry's agent, I look at it and I say, we are more valuable than DK Metcalf. Like just like full stop, no issue there, right? Like we've just been more productive. We've been healthier. We've been more quarterback agnostic. Like we deserve more money than him. But if I'm the team, if I'm Adam, again, this is where the empathy for both sides is important because I think Terry is doing what's best for Terry. Terry's agent has a really right. legitimate argument that he should be paid more than DK Metcalf. Like to me, it's not even a debate, but that's a bad deal. That's a bad deal for the team, the DK right. Metcalf.
Well, that here's the thing though. It's not a bad deal for the team. It's a good deal for the team that looks like a bad deal for the team on paper. And if Terry is by his agent, if Terry's agent isn't willing to explain that to Terry, Terry's going to be really hurt. But again, DK signed what could very well and almost very likely turn into a two-year $60 million deal. That right. is very different than four for 132 or five for 132, whatever it is. Like he's not actually getting 33 AAV. And that structure for the deal doesn't work for the Commanders. For the Steelers, they're planning on having a rookie quarterback contract that starts next year, right? So them stretching out DK's signing bonus proration money over the course of 5 years is a huge win for them because they can take these little cap hits 3, 4, and 5 years into the deal when DK's not on the team. That's the opposite of the Commanders, who have their rookie quarterback contract for the next 3 years. And then we'll have to sign the biggest quarterback number on the books in the entire league when Jaden gets there. So like the structure and the total value, like the details really matter. And you know, if I'm Terry's agent, I'm trying to tell him, and if I'm Adam, I'm trying to get across, like, we'll give you more guaranteed money than DK Metcalf. The money and the years and the cash you will see are likely going to be more than DK unless DK turns into a whole new player in Pittsburgh. But like, he's getting cut in 2028 or 2027, whichever the year is. You're going to play out your deal here, and we want you to retire, Commander.
No, I think that's it. And I think that's where the language of the deal is so important and like how the money is being allocated is so important and understanding that I'm not just trying to beat player X, in this case, DK Metcalf, right? Even though like, and I understand like Terry's agent, like if I'm looking at the sheet, you should be paid more than this guy. And so now let's go get paid more than that guy, all those different things, right? But I empathize with Adam too, because again, like we just talked about how the structures are going to be different. It's different for Pittsburgh than it is here in Washington. And if that's not being articulated well via the agent, or, you know, the communication's not where it needs to be, like that. And that's something we maybe should talk about more. Cause like one of the things that I always appreciated about my agent is that he did a really, 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 really good job of explaining the exact situation, the exact zip code I should be expecting to be in from a salary standpoint. And then like for contract structures, he's like, you deserve, like, I remember when I signed my 3-year extension in 2012, he was like, you deserve to be paid X. But because of these reasons, it was like 3 or 4 reasons. One of them, I was a restricted free agent. There was a bunch of different things, right? He's like, there's no way you're going to make that much money. So you need to like reassess your expectations. You're probably going to be in here. And so then when the number came in that they brought, and it was much closer to the number he said to expect, it wasn't quite as jarring and as shocking and as hurtful as it had been if he had just been like, we are expecting this amount of money, full stop. He kind of went through all the caveats and said, I actually think you're going to be end up here. And I think like that's helpful in these situations. And again, I don't know Terry's agent. I've never met him. I've never spoken to him, but you hear through the grapevine that he can be a little bit difficult. And I think this is one of the areas where it might be applicable. Right. So I think again, like this is a tough situation. I think ultimately they get it resolved. I want Terry to get everything that he wants. I want the team to get everything that they want. I just knowing negotiations, like this is part of it. I'm trying to think of a good example. It's like basically if you're up for a new contract at work, they're going to try and lowball you and you're going to feel hurt. But here the money numbers are so big and you get to know everybody else's salary that has your same position. So it's like, well, this guy's getting way more than me, right? And it can make the process tough. So as a former player, I want the players to get a lot of money. This is what you're doing. And I want the team, because I'm a fan of the Commanders, to make good business decisions. And I think you articulated that really well, is that like, I trust Adam. I trust that he's going to handle this as well. And this is the other thing that's important to know too. Like, I've interacted with Adam in these kind of settings, and he is a good person. He's not going to say things to be intentionally hurtful, right? Like, that's just not who he is, right? He cares about the person, and that's one of the things that makes him special. And that's not me talking. That's everybody that I've ever talked to who's known Adam, they say the same thing. So just
but
understand.
Also, it is you talking as someone who's been in that chair.
Correct. But it's like, Terry's a good dude. Adam's a good dude. And this is part of the friction of making these contracts happen. It's just part of it.
Yeah.
And hopefully it gets done sooner rather than later. But again, like this is why it's difficult. And I just, again, I point to the DK Metcalf contract, because that is going to make it a little bit more difficult than probably needs to be, because there's this kind of outlier number here that if I'm Terry or his agent, I'm like, we need to be more than that. And if I'm Adam, I'm like, that's a bad deal in the sense that it doesn't fit our current structure.
Right. You're looking at the wrong metrics of that deal. Stop looking at AAV. Stop looking at this. He didn't actually like, So look at the total guarantees, which for DK, let's see, where did that go real quick? Let me just resort that column, hit the old backspace. Guaranteed at signing, DK got $60 million. Beating that, to me, for Terry, should not be that hard. So that's the number that I think I'd be looking at. You know, the practical guarantee, like a lot of the, you know, guaranteed at signing, Amon-Ra St. Brown only got 34, but his practical guarantee is 77. So like DK was 60 and 60. Like, you can do the guaranteed at signing, here's a huge chunk of change deal, and also guaranteed at or the practical guarantees, and you can beat DK on those numbers, but you're not going to beat total value. You're not going to beat the average annual salary, which is the number that a lot of people care about ego-wise. Terry kind of talked about that. It was like, the money is how they show that you care. It's not to me about getting extra money. Like, yes, I want to take care of my family for generations, but like, I'm not going to sweat an extra whatever. It's about being able to say like, I'm one of those dudes. And I think that if he's too focused on that number and DK, then this is going to be a really tough negotiation. I don't know how you square that. But hopefully they get it done, because Terry is really important to the Commanders, which we're going to go now to just how important he is to the Commanders.
And in doing so, we ranked the top 10 commanders. Check out that podcast, the rest of it, wherever you get yours. Just search Take Command on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Of course, you can watch full episodes as well on YouTube at the Team 980. When we get back, we wrap up the show with a quick edition of Real Things Real People Said into real microphones.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, yeah. It's Friday. I didn't get this last week because my last day was Thursday. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio as well. Anthony Haney there, Craig Hoffman here, wrapping up our weeks. Haney's got a busy weekend ahead. I have the opposite. Like, bro, I don't want to do a thing this weekend. We're going to do a little dinner tomorrow night, but like, that'll be nice. I'll sit in my house all day other than that. And Sunday should be pretty chill too. Maybe go for a little walk, a little run, a little bike ride, something like that to get outside. But like, this is too much traveling. Got more on deck. Inside weekend. I'm paying for my home. I'm going to enjoy it.
I love that for you, Craig.
You're going to be outside.
I will be outside.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tonight, by the way, you got the NBA or the WNBA All-Star Skills contest and All-Star Friday night. The WNBA All-Star game, of course, is tomorrow night, 8:30 on ABC. And that brings us to Real Things Real People Said into real microphones. So the Mystics have not one, not two, but three All-Stars now. Sonia Citron and Kiki Arefin make it as rookies on the initial ballot. And then as a couple players dropped, including and ultimately Caitlin Clark, Brittany Sykes got the call and she told the story at W All-Star Media Day about how she got it and how she feels about it. I thought this was incredibly interesting and heartfelt from Brittany Sykes.
Brittany, congratulations, first of all. Where were you and what were you doing when you got the call? And can you just walk us through the emotions of it?
All right. So it is, I'm in L.A. since we played L.A. The last game, right? My lovely, lovely girlfriend is from California. So we decided to spend All-Star break in Cali. It is 6:30 in the morning. I'm reaching for some water. And I see my GM call me. And I'm just like, why in the heck is Jamila calling me at 6:30 in the morning? And, you know, if for somebody to call me, like, everybody knows, calling my phone, like, it better be something that does not have to be put in an email or a text message. Mm-hmm. She's like, hey, you're going to get a call. And I'm like, from who? Because you're calling me right now. And I'm, like, halfway asleep, too. She's like, I know, I'm sorry, Slim. And it's like a whole bunch of going on in the background. She's packing her bags to get here. She's like, well, Kathy's going to call you. And so, yeah, are you going to go? And I was like, because in the moment, emotions were high because, one, this is like the second time around with the reserve situation. And I'm human, you know. I make the joke, I feel like the last kid, you know, on the playground, but goddamn. You know, like, it was pretty damn obvious, you know, that pick. And I fought with myself, you know, today to be like, oh, do you go in humble? Do you go in, you know, with the chip on your shoulder? It's like, no, I'm just keeping it 1,000. But you guys, like, in that moment, I was frustrated. But at the same time, I realized, you know, this is something that I wanted. This is something I talked to God about. And I feel like he was like, all right, you really want it? We about to see. And, you know, everything kind of happened the way it did. But you can't complain about something that you want, you know, and how it's delivered, you know. But we're here. And the league got it right a second time.
Did you see her stories, Anthony? Her trip. She's out in L.A.
Bro.
She got to Indy at 4 a.m.
Because of delay after delay after delay.
Yeah, and plus, if she was coming from L.A., it was probably got delayed and then was turned into a red eye.
Oh, yep.
So she gets to. By the way, I got some flight delay stories from the last couple weeks. But let me tell you, if your flight's gonna get delayed, you want it delayed while you're in the airport, not sitting at your gate on the plane.
Yeah,
that was not a good 3 hours that we were at our gate on the plane when we could have been sitting. In the airport, but I'll save that rant for another day.
You're a better man than me, Craig.
I wasn't psyched.
Okay.
I may have filed a couple complaints. I had time, nothing else to do. Started watching stuff I was going to watch on the flight. Anyway, where was I? I'm blinded by rage. Slim, she got there at 4 a.m. She's at practice by 8 a.m., doing the media stuff after that. Thankfully, she is not participating in the skill stuff tonight. Sonia Citron. Make sure you catch her in the 3-point contest. And also, A-plus job, WNBA. Don't say this all the time, but A-plus job, Lexi Hull being the replacement for Caitlin Clark in the 3-point contest to get the hometown flavor. Lexi's very, very deserving. Obviously, like, their options were limited to Fever players, because you're not going to, or someone else who was in town for All-Star, but I don't know how many other players like have their full repertoire of basketball shoes and such available, their uniform, etc. So Lexi gets the call. It's probably either her or Kelsey Mitchell, but going Lexi, I think, is an A-plus call. Kelsey Mitchell's already an All-Star playing in the game on tomorrow night. So love that from the W. Get the hometown crowd fired up.
Who do you
for
got?
A player who's very deserving? Sony, obviously.
I'm just making sure. I'm going with the hometown kid too.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's great shooters. Sabrina's an insanely good shooter. KP's doing it. She's great. Got that quick release. Yep. But, like, I'm just betting on Sony. I will bet on Sonia Citron until the day she retires.
If she wins, will she smile? Or will she, like, you know, show some type of excitement?
She will smirk.
Okay. That's what
I'm predicting, a very, very solid smirk.
I'm predicting all 32 pearly whites.
Yeah, I got a really hearty laugh out of Sydney Johnson last week when we interviewed him, or when I interviewed him after the game at Eagle Bank. And I said, I knew Sony was really, really mad at a call because she like did half an eye roll.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So that I knew she was ticked.
That's something.
Yeah. She's just cool. One cool customer. It was actually, I was watching earlier today. There was a, or Sony and Kiki sat down with Sue Bird for an interview on Sue's podcast. And Sue started off by saying, like, I think one reason why both of y'all have been so good is because your games are really mature. And Kiki's like, wow, like, thank you so much. I don't feel that way. Like, I feel like I'm sped up. You know, my coach is always saying slow is pro and I'm not there yet. And Sony's like, and so Sue was like, Sony, do you agree with that? And she's like, yeah, like I can get better, but yeah, I kind of play at my own pace. I'm like, you're so sick.
Yeah.
She's good. She's good that Sonya Citron. So the three of them, Slim, getting to play this weekend. Sony, Kiki. Going to be a fun W weekend in Indy. We'll be watching. We'll talk about it and really kick off our Commanders preview because training camp starts next week on Monday. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's the Hoffman Show signing off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast. Oh my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.